they go low, we get high. The Devil's Advocates.
And we are back from the 420 break. Thank you so much for listening to the Devil's Advocates radio show. We always love it when you join us on the phones at 844-967-2789.
Well, Dom, we could take this conversation a lot of directions, but I'm going to take it my way. It's my way or the highway.
Yeah, and which way is that?
That way. Like that way. That way's my way. That way is your way, but my way is this way.
All right, man. Let's hear what you got.
Well, I want to talk about the strategery, man.
Oh, okay. Sure. All right. So you're calling the audible because we talked like right before the show, like literally at like what, 3:55, and had a plan, and now you're changing the plan.
I got a better plan.
It's a different plan. I think
it's the same plan. We're just moving some segments around. We're just shifting on the fly.
All right, man. We can do it.
We're building professionals, the airplane, man. As we're taking flight.
Yeah. Okay, Foxconn.
Someday we aspire to be what, like a trout farm here. Dom, here's why I want to chastise you back on, because you've been talking a lot of smack. And Paul Waldman, I'm going to use his some source material. Now, he's a columnist at the Washington Post. Why criticism of Democrats for boosting radical Trumpist is wrong. He's telling you why you're wrong, Dom.
Not just me. A lot of Democrats are not happy with the DCCC in this game.
Well, let me jump in. When moderate Republican Rep. Peter Meyer of Michigan was defeated in Tuesday's primary, condemnation came swiftly. Not for John Gibbs, the far-right election conspiracist who narrowly beat Meyer, but for the Democratic Party officials who boosted Gibbs' campaign in an attempt to face a general election opponent would be easier to beat in a district that leans slightly Democratic. Gibbs is one of a number of such candidates Democrats have tried to help them. They're helping. And the response has been widespread outrage.
Yes.
Outside of the Democratic officials who made the decision to deploy the tactic, there seems to be nearly universal consensus that what they have done is reckless and hypocritical. Have you leveled either of those criticisms, Dom? Reckless and hypocritical.
A tad. Yeah, I'll jump on that, sir. Sure.
Well, according to Waldman, while I wouldn't unequivocally endorse parties trying to get their opponents to nominate the looniest candidates possible, there are a number of reasons why the criticism is overblown and even misguided. And I'm talking to you, Salvia.
Even though he already qualified it as he wouldn't unequivocally endorse the parties doing that. But please continue.
It's after the butt. Yeah. After the butt's the real important stuff. In fact, we might look back and say the Democrats made a strategic judgment that struck a reasonable balance between risk and reward. You know, I'm a risk-reward guy, Dom. Now, this is a minority opinion, to say the least. Yeah. When Meyer was defeated, Rep. Adam Kinzinger of Illinois, one of two Republicans on the House Select Committee investigating the J6 insurrection, said the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee should be ashamed for airing ads that somewhat gently called Gibbs too conservative for Western Michigan and highlighted his ties to former President Donald Trump. But those things were true. However, as Waldman points out, many Democrats agree. Here's a quote. Stephanie Murphy and Rep. Richie Torres from New York called it embarrassingly hypocritical. They said no race is worth compromising your values in that way. The tactic has been widely condemned in the media, including by the editorial boards of the Washington Post and the New York Times.
Curdy taking the minority position on this. Please continue.
It's because everybody else other than me in this case is wrong. Me and maybe Paul Waldman. Let me tell you why. But it's worth making some distinctions here. Some extremist Republicans have been boosted by Democrats in governor's races, including in Maryland, Illinois, and more importantly, Pennsylvania. That's where Democratic nominee Josh Shapiro, we're talking about Pennsylvania, aired ads criticizing eventual nominee Doug Mastriano. Did I say that right, Dom?
Mastriano.
Mastriano. Tell me, Sicilian, how do you say it? Mastriano. During the primary campaign that saw many saw as an attempt to lift Mastriano over his opponents. You can argue the risk is too great, as Governor Mastriano could put his extremist views into practice. potentially attempt to throw the 2024 election for Trump. But when it comes to the House of Representatives and a member such as Meyer, the calculation is very different. First, note that the first things that Meyer did after his defeat was to appear at a unity event with Gibbs. That's the extremist guy that beat him.
Yes. He's still with the help of the DCCC.
Whatever Meyer's distaste for Gibbs' repugnant views, he's backing Gibbs in the general election. So spare me the laments for the departure of such a noble public servant. And second, we can't escape this fact. Gibbs was exactly what Republican primary voters in Michigan's 3rd congressional district wanted. This race got plenty of attention, and Gibbs was not hiding who he is. That's what they chose. Just as Republican voters have in state after state. On the same day, Republicans in another swing state, Arizona, nominated an entire slate of election saboteurs. Their nominee for Secretary of State is an actual member of the Oath Keepers, a right-wing extremist group. Got some of this down? Or should
all of which on? Is why GOP extremism is rapidly becoming the central issue in the 2022 midterm campaign, which is very good for Democrats, Waldman writes. It motivates their own base to turn out, pushes moderate Republicans away from GOP candidates. If Democrats win in November, it won't be because they talked about kitchen table issues. It will be because voters recoiled at what Republicans want to do, not only about elections, but also on issues such as abortion. What's more, Democrats have only meddled in a few House races. So what are the possible outcomes? The best case scenario is they snag a couple of seats they otherwise wouldn't have, enabling them to hold the House majority. Were that to happen, and were they to hold on to the Senate as well, the effects would be extraordinary. It would mean they could continue passing legislation for the next 2 years with a profound impact on Americans' lives. None of it will be easy, but there could be bills fighting climate change, expanding access to health care, raising the minimum wage, securing abortion rights, and much more. The worst case scenario is that Democrats lose a few seats they would have probably lost anyway. But instead of being occupied by Republicans who stand with the GOP against the entire progressive agenda, they'll be occupied by Republicans who stand with the GOP against the entire progressive agenda and are also election conspirators.
What's the worst that could happen?
Oh, I got more, man. I got more.
More Marjorie Taylor Greens, more Gozers, more Grothmans, more Devil's Advocates. We'll be right back.
Well, no, I'm no lawyer, but I do believe that's a violation of my rights.